Good morning, church.
Man, I got to tell you, reading that this morning, what we just read, just reconfirmed everything that God's been doing in my life, and I feel so privileged to be a part of this family. Many of you that know me personally know that I've been in church my entire life, but just these past year and a half, 2 years have been monumental for me in my faith. I feel like I have a family that I belong to. I feel like you are my church. I feel like God is really using this particular people here to just show me what it was all about and what we read about. So I'd like to open in prayer this morning, and if you would just bow your heads with me this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your goodness and all of your mercy. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for the way that you changed the time on us but still give us the energy to show up. Thank you, Father, for your promises and your truth that never changes. And we just pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts this morning. That, God, you would anoint me to speak your words. And that the hearts would be ready to receive what you have for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. So, Pastor Ron and his family are over town. And I'm so thankful and honored to be here. I got to tell you, it's a little nervous and a little nerve-wracking to be in the first service, because I know the wholesome teaching that Brother Ron gives us. So it's a little intimidating. But I plan to just follow in his footsteps this morning. If you have been with us the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and just how it operated. And now, you know, we're at the point where Jesus has been crucified. He's resurrected from the dead. And now he's given a commission to his disciples saying, go out into all the nations and to spread this word and make disciples. So that's what our title, I've entitled this day, The Great Commission versus a Good Commission. So if you have your Bibles or your tablets or your smartphones, whatever you want to do, you can open up to Matthew 28. And it's going to be in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Wow. What a big job. Disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. He dies, he resurrects, and now he says, go out and make disciples of all nations. Peace out. See you later. Boom. Gone. I don't know about you, but if I was the disciples, I'd be a little confused. What's going on? What do I do now? And I bet that they were a little confused. They didn't fully understand what was about to happen. Not really. They were given a charge and a command to carry the message of the gospel, to take it to the entire world. And that is a huge job for anybody, especially if you try to do that without Christ. So that's what we're going to talk today about, is how do we do that? How do we follow God's commandments and carry out the great commission that he's given really not only to the disciples, but to everybody that calls himself a believer of Jesus Christ? I'm sure they were confused. They were still walking by faith, still expecting some grand thing to happen, yet still on some human level, not really understanding what was going on, because he had promised that in his departure, the Holy Spirit would then come. So it wasn't until Acts that when the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples, were they empowered and ready to carry on. And I can just imagine the 12 or the 11 that were there, and they're just like, okay, now I know I can do this. Now I got the power. I feel the Holy Spirit and I'm charged. Once they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they would never return the same. They would never be the same person. They couldn't go back to their tent-making jobs or their boat fishing jobs the same. They were changed forever. They were empowered. And like us today that have the Holy Spirit, we very much are the same. We cannot go back to the lives that we live, the jobs that we are, the retirement that we're used to, the church services that we attend, the relationships that we have, the marriages that we're involved in. We can't return the same way because we're not the same people. We have the Holy Spirit in us, which empowers us. And it's present. It's not just something that we read. It is a spirit that is life. Like last week, Pastor Ron said, it is a person that we have to get to know. And I think that's the disconnect that I'm not going to speak for everybody, but a lot of us, especially in our younger generation, we don't fully understand, you know, that the Spirit is actual person that wants to get to know me, that is guiding me, that is empowering me, that is reminding me of the things that are set before me. That, you know, if I read this word, sometimes the enemy will come attack. There's a verse that comes up, and it's the Holy Spirit that's activating those things. So it's good to know that this is true. We have purpose. We're equipped with God's power to complete the task ahead of us. There is power when we obey God's commands. The Bible says that we can do nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. So I'd like you to turn to John 15:5. It's going to be on the screen, so don't worry about it if you can't flip through it. You just want to listen. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When we surrender our hearts and our life to Jesus, we take on his heart and his life. We begin to walk in tune with his Spirit. And that's really where the power of everything is. That's where change comes. When we try to operate outside of God's Spirit, we're just going to meet a dead end. And I've realized in my faith, especially these last couple years, that a lot of my intentions, though they were good, were still operating in the flesh. And I had this untapped power that I wasn't connected to. It was present. I just needed to connect to the source, which is our Heavenly Father. And really, when we do that, it's really not us that does the work anyhow. God is the one through us, operating through us. It's His power. It's His Spirit. It's His mission. We're just the vessels. Amen? But our flesh. Oh, our flesh. It loves to war against the promises of God. It loves to tell us that we're not good enough. That we're not tall enough. That we're not smart enough. That we're not strong enough. That who are we to carry out the commission that God has set before us? So we default. We default in our flesh sometimes and we think, well, maybe I'm just not the person to carry out the, you know, let's pay so-and-so to go to Papua New Guinea or, you know, Haiti or wherever our mission fields are. Let's just support them. Let's let them do it. When in reality, that commission is all of ours. And I want to speak a little bit about my testimony in a minute, but what I've noticed that when we operate in the flesh and we're not mindful of the Spirit, it leads us away from God and His plans for us. In contrary, the Spirit will always pull us away from our fleshly desire, and it will guide us back to God's plans for our life. I want to reference Galatians 5:17 this morning. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. That couldn't be more true in this very day and age for myself. Growing up as a Christian without a real connection to the vine and a real relationship with Jesus has allowed me to settle for a life of good intentions. But really, good intentions are not enough. I have good intentions for my friends, for my family. I have good intentions for my life and the ministry that God has given me. But unless I tap into God's Spirit, unless I'm walking and abiding in His holy power, I can't carry any of that out. There's not going to be any effect or impact in the relationships that I have or the lifestyle that I choose to live. There's going to be no power in the way that I speak or the examples that I try to teach my young kids downstairs in the teen center. I can never do the Holy Spirit's job. So I just want to be an encouragement this morning that if you've been feeling a little heavy and just feel this weight of, man, maybe I'm not fulfilling my commandments that God has given me, just know that it's available to all of us once we surrender our life to Jesus. Because I wasn't chasing God in my youth, my heart began to chase after other gods, small g. Success, money, status, to climb the corporate ladder, as they say. But I was never satisfied. I was always chasing for more because simply, if it's not Jesus, it's never enough. Anybody that's ever been addicted to something knows that you can never get enough of whatever you're addicted to, because it always leaves you empty at the end of it. And really, Jesus came to make us whole. Holiness is a whole different sermon for another day, but I've come to understand that holiness is not a set of rules that I live by and abide by, but allowing the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ to be whole in me. When He makes Himself whole in me, I become holy as a result of the Spirit abiding in me. So it's never again, I just want to reiterate, it's never what we can do. We can never earn eternity. God has already given that as a gift, and He's provided His Spirit to empower us, to move us. And I really believe that God would never give us such a command if He didn't think we could handle it. So my question is, what are we doing with that? Are we living for a good commission? Or are we living for the Great Commission? My father has been in the loan business for over 25 years now and has made a very good living. As a matter of fact, he's been able to keep my sister, 21 years of age, and my mom free from having to go to an 8-to-5 a job. My mom's been out of the workforce for 21 years. My sister has never had to pay a penny towards college, and I give my dad a lot of credit for that. One day he told me in my 20s, "Hey, how would you like to make $10,000 a month?" I don't know about you, but that was music to my ears. And I was just thinking, oh my gosh, what could I do with 10 grand a month? Of course I chased after that. I mean, I woke up early. I spent late days in the office. I'd go home late just to find myself really stressed. You know, I was gaining weight. I was involved in other things just to try to get myself calibrated to go back to this office and sit for another day to go and chase another check that would probably never come because I was never called to do that. And, my dad is still in that business and makes a great living, but it wasn't for me. I think I made 6 grand 1 month, but I developed a smoking habit and I gained about 40 pounds, so it wasn't worth it if you ask me. I quickly left that and I asked God to forgive me and to redirect my steps and to really show me what it was that He had for me. I had abandoned the Great Commission, and I was chasing a good commission. I want to reference Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Wow. Maybe money is not your God or your master. I pray that Jesus is. I know for most of us in this room, He is. But maybe there's somebody today that really hasn't put God in the proper place in your heart. Maybe we've settled in our way of thinking and we've just kind of adjusted our lifestyles to keep us afloat. I want to remind you that it's never too late to abandon ship and live for Christ. I could never serve God faithfully while operating in my flesh. I wasn't able to do anything. I had to ask God to forgive me. I had to ask Him for new perspective. I had to ask Him to finally show me through His eyes what He had for me. When I moved to the island, the first thing I did was I got 3 jobs. I took one of them and left the other 2. But I wasn't trusting God. I was trusting myself. I said, okay, let me go and try to make this money here, try to support myself. But yet God had different plans for me. And He was pulling me, even at C.C. Gallagher's as I was making coffee. I remember one day I was singing this song that I used to sing in my youth group. I don't know, it was just a song I heard on my Pandora playlist. And I just kept repeating it, repeating it, repeating it. The words were, "Jesus, don't pass me by." That's the chorus line. I won't sing it for you, but, you know. I just remember making a coffee and singing it, and I started to cry out of nowhere. And the lady's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I don't know, you know, here's your cappuccino," you know. And it was just one of those days, and it was beautiful because it was at that moment in time, and I have my brothers here who can attest to you. I walked into that office one day, and I said, "I don't know what's going on, but I'm a mess. I'm a mess." And Jesus started to awaken a life in me. And He says, "I've brought you here not to serve cappuccinos, I've brought you here for so much more. Like the disciples, my eyes were opened and I was empowered to carry out my mission. My heart was central in this truth, though. I wasn't able to effectively witness to the friends around me, to share God's love with friends or family or neighbors, until I received a heart and a new perspective from Him. I was living in this world and couldn't understand why I couldn't make disciples of all nations. How do you even do that, by the way? By this time, I had achieved some earthly goals. I had moved to Catalina. I got a nice apartment. I had a nice little ruby red golf cart that was going around town. I had just gotten married. I was working at, C.C. Gallagher's, making some great money. But inside, I was full of dead man's bones. I was spiritually bankrupt. And I want to let you know and remind you that we must ask the Holy Spirit for what we want if we ever expect to be effective in our kingdoms here. James chapter 4, verse 2. Where are you at, James? There you are. It says a lot more than what I brought this verse for, so I'm going to read the whole entirety of the verse because I don't want us to miss that, but then I want to go into why I brought it. James chapter 4, verse 2. You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And I think that's important, that we need to ask God for the things that we want. Ask Him how to carry out our mission. Ask Him what it is He has for us today. Tomorrow's not promised. Tomorrow has its own set of worries. And I really believe that it's okay to ask Jesus for things. It's okay to ask for boldness, for faith, for direction, for clarity, for power, for authority over things. It's okay. When we ask God for things that please Him and bring Him glory, He is faithful to provide those things for us. Which brings me to John chapter 14, verse 13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Don't ask God for a Ferrari, by the way. He still hasn't answered that one. I'm thankful for God's direction and leading in my life, because so many times I've realized that if God were to give me the things that I've asked for all the time, I'd be a wreck even more than I am today. And I really believe it's through His Holy Spirit that He's equipped me to ask for the things that would bring glory to Him. So I rest in that today. And I'm only asking Jesus for what I can bear. I don't ask Him for the things that I want anymore. I ask Him to prepare me for the things that I've already asked Him for. Because more often than not, when God gives us what we ask for, we're usually not prepared for the receiving of that. And it's really powerful. So they say, be careful on what you ask for. Amen to that. So how do we make disciples of all nations? Practically. How do we do that? Am I supposed to walk to Judea and Samaria and do all that? I mean, sure, that sounds good. But what's great about this town, this time, this generation, you got to walk maybe two blocks and you see all generations, all nations walking up and down Front Street. They may be working with you. They may be your neighbors on a boat. They may be cruise shippers that are here, you know. I hear them all the time. Woo! They're driving on, you know, Front Street. It's great, by the way. If you have nothing better to do today, I encourage you to go out there and spend about an hour looking at people. It's awesome. But really, how do we do that? I think the answer is really simple, and we make it hard. We overthink things. We ask. We seek. We knock. What does that mean? You ask God to give you a word for somebody today. Put someone in your path today. God, who do you have for me today? Who is it you want me to share a word of encouragement with today? Who can I be a blessing to today, God? You'd be surprised. Because be prepared. It's usually never who you think it would be. If you're like me and you're like, darn it, I blew it again. That was him, wasn't it? We seek the Spirit within us to show us the needs around us and to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. After all, really, if we're operating in our flesh, you're going to miss it. I've been in that teen center for going on 3 years now, and it isn't until this last year that I've asked God to open my eyes to the needs in that room. And my God, there are some needs down there. And they start young. I'm talking third graders that are dealing with mom and dad divorcing. Ugly. Kids that are seeing shadows in their room, afraid to go home. Spiritual oppression, depression. Thoughts of suicide. Yeah, that age. The enemy's playing for blood, folks. So I've come to war. And I'm ready for him. We knock. Maybe not on a physical door, but on the door of people's hearts. More often than not, they'll let you know if they want you to come in or not. That doesn't mean you don't knock. And I believe that when we seek God, we ask God, God, show me somebody. Give me somebody today. And we seek the presence of the Holy Spirit in us and activate us. And we walk and abide in God's truth. And we are living this thing out. When we knock, they'll be ready to open that door. The question is, though, are they going to see you or are they going to see Christ in you? And that's not a judgmental question. That's just a reality check under the hood. And then you just pray for them. That's it, really. At the end of the day, it's not us anyways that's doing the work. It's the Holy Spirit, right? Man, that took a weight off of me. I'm like, I don't have to be perfect. Wonderful. God's perfect. God's in me. God will give you the words to say. God will give you a word of encouragement for somebody. And you may not realize it, but a simple hello, a how are you, a hug that's genuine, really could go a long way for someone that feels left out, that feels like nobody loves them. Really makes all the difference. But I think the core issue here is that we don't do it in love sometimes. We can become so legalistic in our thinking, in our religious thinking and ways. And I read the Bible and I pay my tithes and I go to church and I dress nice and I'm appropriate and I don't cuss and I don't steal and I've never murdered and I do what I got to do. And yet, this person's not doing it, but they should because they go to church every day. Or they should because they know God. Or they should because whatever. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And we miss what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in us because we don't do it in love. We do it in anything else but. And I want to turn our attention to something that was really powerful that Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move the mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all I possess to the poor, and I give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And then we all know that it goes into love is patient, love is kind. What a powerful thing for Paul the Apostle to say. That out of all of that he had did and accomplished for the kingdom, love was the very core of his message. I believe it was love that led him to that day when he had his final hour on this earth. And I believe that he loved the guards that were even taking him to. I don't know if I heard this from somebody or if this is actual true, but I believe he converted the people that were actually taking him to his death. That he would walk by people and people would be healed. Again, it wasn't Paul. It was God in Paul. It was the Holy Spirit activated in Paul. I want to be like Paul. But more than that, I want to be like Christ. I was worried as I prepared this message that it would be short. Because one of my gifts is the gift of gab. God knows I can talk. So I try to keep it short. But I didn't want to add any more to the message. I don't think I need to. I wanted to end with a closing thought. And that is simply this. This world is passing away. And all that is in it. We owe it to our friends. To our family. To our neighbors. To our co-workers. We owe it to the people that we judge. Whether we want to or like it or not. We walk past us every day. To point them to the one and the only one that can save them. And that's Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, you're not a savior. You're not the savior. There is a savior. And some of those people, most of those people, are never going to come into these doors. We got to go to them. And I'm reminded of a pond, and there was an analogy that was used, where we throw a pebble into the pond, and the ripples start to form, and we never really see where the ripples go, because they dissipate as they go. But we make impact. And that's what matters. It's not your job to follow up and see where those ripples go. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Your job is to make the impact. What I'd like us to do today is I'd like us to close our eyes for a moment. We may not have the resources to go around the world and make disciples of all nations, but we can stand in the gap for somebody today. I want you to picture that one person that doesn't know Jesus Christ. That one person that you could probably pray for today. That one person that's living this world without the hope of Christ. And I want you to pray for that person. We start one person at a time. We may not save everybody, but we're going to pray for that person right now. So Father, I pray, God, that You would, through Your Holy Spirit, bring that person into our minds right now. And we put them before You, Jesus. We ask, God, that You would show us, direct us, God, on how to pray for this person. We pray for their soul. We pray, God, that You would somehow shake the foundations of their heart. We pray, God, that You would reveal Yourself to them. And if it's all possible, God, we stand in the gap for them. We ask that You would equip us through Your Spirit to empower us, God, to deliver Your gospel, Your message of salvation and hope. And if You would use us, Father, use us to speak truth. Let our lives speak for us. And we do these things in Your name, for Your kingdom, for Your glory. Forever, amen.